The following is a recording of the Maria Bologna teleconference with iAdvise on Tuesday, February 25th, 2014 at 9 a.m. Central Time.
Good morning. My name is Jennifer, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Hintera fourth quarter conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. Instructions for this portion will be given after the speaker's presentation. I'll now turn the conference over to Mr. Enrique Barrera Flores, Investor Relations Officer for Hintera. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Hintera, thank you very much for joining us. Presenting today are Mr. Carlos Danet, Chairman of the Board, Mr. Enrique Mayor, Banco Compartamos Chief Executive Officer, Patricio Diaz de Bonilla, Chief Financial Officer, as well as myself, Enrique Barrera Flores, Investor Relations Officer. Please note that during this presentation, Hintera may make forward-looking statements. These do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, or financial results. Additional information on the forward-looking statements may be found in the disclaimer located in the company's quarterly report, which was issued yesterday. To receive a copy of the release, or if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact our Investor Relations Department in Mexico City. If you are a member of the media, we ask you to contact us directly. Thank you for your attention. At this point, Mr. Carlos Danet will take over the call to discuss Hintera's results, followed by Enrique Mayor, who will review the performance of Banco Compartamos, and Patricio Diaz de Bonilla, who will discuss the financial results of Hintera. Carlos, please, go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique. Good morning to everyone, and on behalf of Hintera, thank you for participating in this call. As we finalize another year in our history, we would like to take a moment to reflect on our achievements during 2013. This past year, Grupo Compartamos underwent its identity transformation to Hintera, with the same purpose since our founding day: to eradicate financial exclusion while committed to create social, economic, and human value for all of our stakeholders. For the past few years, we have been implementing our strategy of becoming a multi-product, multi-country company. The results today begin to show the trends we expect for the future. Most notably, after a 2012 that was flat on earnings growth, earnings growth this year has picked up to meet our guidance for the year. When we began the year, 2013, we had expected EPS to grow between 1.30 and 1.35. But by mid-year, we felt good enough about results that we revised upwards to 1.35 and 1.40. In the end, we delivered 1.38 EPS earnings growth, right in the middle of our revised guidance. Now, this result is partly because in 2013, loan portfolio for Hintera surpassed 20.7 billion pesos. That's a 14% increase versus 2012. Specifically, average loan per client rose by 11% when compared to the fourth quarter of 2012, a key metric in our strategy, given the fact that we expect future growth to come more from the urban products, which demand higher loan amounts and have higher risk profile. However, we had also expected annual portfolio growth of 20 to 24%. Although growth of the portfolio met that target for the first three quarters of the year, the last quarter we saw a slowdown related to our own strategy rather to any structural reason in the markets that we serve. In fact, average portfolio throughout the year was above what we had expected, and that helped drive the growth of the top line through 2013. But specifically, we decided to slow down the rate of faster-growing products in the fourth quarter to improve asset quality and strengthen our individual lending methodology. We also made a significant effort in rewarding client loyalty and retention, to strengthen their competitive advantage after a competitive episode in the market in the past few years. Today, Compartamos is experiencing record levels of client loyalty, which also helps solidify the growth of our average loan amount. And lastly, we also decided to modify the company's write-off policy from 180 days to 180 days from what was before 270 days, which reduced the portfolio by 330 million pesos and 105,000 customers. And we believe that the change in policy was necessary in order to better reflect the company's asset quality, considering the low recovery rate from delinquent customers after 180 days. Now, armed with this stronger client satisfaction and loyalty and better control of our origination process, we expect loan portfolio to increase its base for 2014 to a growth of between 17 and 20%. Now, regarding Peru, our product strategy is starting to pay off as we were able to grow the customer base by 47% when compared to 2013, reaching nearly 200,000 customers and a total loan portfolio growth of 28%. These are solid figures, especially if you consider that Peru is one of the most competitive countries in microfinance and where we compete with very well-known companies. Now, despite this strong growth, NPLs remain within our expected range, still around 4%, which is at the low end of the guidance provided. A lot of the growth, of course, is coming from introducing Crédito Mujer to the Peruvian market, where the market is still severely underserved and where Compartamos Financiera has a significant edge over its competitors. We also continue to invest in expanding the company's presence throughout the country. A couple of years ago, we only had presence in two cities in Peru. And today, Compartamos Financiera is in 13 of the 24 Peruvian states. The strategy is to become a national player with an even broader product offering throughout Peru. Guatemala, as expected, also experienced dramatic growth in its metrics. The total loan portfolio rose 67%, and the total number of active clients increased 48%. Strong growth in such a short period of time, and evidence of the potential of this market, and possibly of the rest of the Central American region as well. Our current focus in Guatemala is to consolidate credit quality for what is in fact a young loan officer population. For fourth quarter of 2013, NPLs grew slightly to 3.77% and are in line with our expectations. Average loans per client increased nearly 13%, a positive indicator for this young market. This year should be a milestone year for Guatemala as well, as we expect it to become a profitable subsidiary in 2014, just 3 years after we started our efforts. Nayat Fab, our banking correspondence manager, has so far affiliated over 3,200 mom-and-pop stores in four Mexican states. Of these affiliates, the CNBB, the National Banking and Securities Commission, has approved 750 to perform financial transactions. That's up from 100 approved by the third quarter of 2013. It is in these outlets performing financial transactions that we expect to learn the most about how to make the network grow profitably and with a product offering that is relevant to our clients. As we continue our pilot project in Yastas, we also continue to learn from my pilot in savings through Compartamos Banco. 2014 should better position us to be able to massify our services in the future. And finally, Aterna, the company's microinsurance broker, sold over 7 million life insurance policies in 2013. Aterna is now present in Mexico, Peru, and Guatemala, and we still believe that there is enormous potential to grow and add social value to millions of uninsured families in our region. Now, to end my remarks, I would like to share guidance for the year 2014, and that is to grow the portfolio between 17 and 20%, and an EPS growth between 1.54 to 1.59. We are confident in our ability to reach our goals. and enthusiastic of starting another year of opportunities for the group in line with our multi-product and multi-country strategy and with our vision of eradicating financial exclusion at the base of the pyramid. Thank you for your attention, and now I will turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Majós, CEO of Banco Compartamos, who will review the performance of the Mexican operation for us.
Thank you, Carlos, and good morning to everyone. It is a great pleasure for me to report the positive results of Banco Compartamos and what we have accomplished in the fourth quarter and last year. Let me start by mentioning that some of the challenges we faced during the last 2 years in the Mexican market. As you can remember, 2012 was a very tough year in terms of competition. In addition to new entrants, we saw much more aggressive competition from existing players. However, during 2013, and by focusing on the business fundamentals, especially the quality of our portfolio and customer retention efforts, we were able to adapt and achieve some very good and positive results while other market players fell short. Just to mention some of our key performance indicators that show strong business fundamentals, I can report that the turnover rate of our employees was dramatically reduced from 44% in 2012 to 31% during last year. Our customer retention rate, which was around 77% in the first half of 2012, reached levels of 84% during the second half of last year. This number is relevant, especially when we consider that our retention rate has been around 80% average in the past 5 years. Regular weekly visits to our customers from our loan officers and a reliable product offer were key to obtain this result. Additionally, as we all know, Mexican economy had an important slowdown during the second semester of last year. This is very relevant to understand the fourth quarter 2013. However, Compartamos Banco 2013 total portfolio grew by 10.5% in comparing end-of-year figures, and by over 20% if we take the average portfolio during both years. Net income increased by 21%, while our operating expenses grew 25%. These figures are in line with the strategic project investment and with an improved cost of funds that reaches 4.8%. This way, we maintained our total portfolio growth, and more important, we protect its quality under a complicated environment. As we previously explained, microcredit business is about growing, controlling, and growing again. This cycle allows us to increase our customer base and at the same time ensure a healthy operation to face complicated market conditions. 2013 was clearly a controlling period for the group lending side of the business, while at the same time was a growing period for the individual lending side. And speaking about our individual loans, 2013 was a year in which we grew aggressively. We hired 400 new loan officers and increased by 28% our portfolio. Our focus was in growing the product, and NPLs increased from 3 to 6%. For the individual loan product, 2014 will be a year of consolidation and focus on the fundamentals of the business. Individual lending growth will slow down during 2014. However, this doesn't mean that we won't continue growing. Finally, and speaking about some of our strategic projects, let me summarize what's going on with Integra project and our saving account project. It is important to mention that during this year, we are deploying our SAP Credit Core Banking System, and I'm talking about 2014. As you can imagine, this will be a challenge since we cannot lose our focus for growing the business. However,
We feel comfortable with the rollout plan and the extraordinary work that every team involved in the SAP project is making. On the savings project, we now have 100,000 accounts in our pilot market in Veracruz. At the same time, and now that the credit core banking system is in the rollout stage, we are developing the savings core system in SAP. This will allow us, as we expected, to apply the knowledge we have from our pilot project, which was implemented with a temporary technological platform. 2014 will be the year of consolidating our technological and operational platform for our savings accounts, and we can expect a rollout of our savings product by 2015. Looking ahead, the focus for Compartamos Banco in 2014 will be to maintain our leadership in the Mexican market and do so by putting our employees and our clients first, since these are the truly fundamentals of our business. We are committed to the development of people in order to improve their lives through financial inclusion, and we look forward to leading by example in a market that still has potential to grow. Thank you for your attention, and Patricio will now review the financials for the group before we turn to the Q&A section.
Thank you, Enrique. At this time, I will briefly review Gentera's annual financial results, which begins with 25% interest income growth, reflecting the strong momentum that we experienced during 2013. This was more evident during the first 9 months of the year, but finalized the year in a strong note. Interest expense grew at a much lower pace of 13.9% in 2013. This is a reflection of Gentera's strong funding availability, and it is at the lowest cost ever. It is important to mention that the liabilities grew 16% and did not affect proportionally the interest expense. Provision for loan losses reached 1.6 billion pesos, an increase of 62.3%, which is evidence of the company's strategy of portfolio growth and development in the individual loan products in Mexico, which require higher provision, as well as deterioration of some product categories. NIM stood at 53%, at the same levels of 2012, and in line with the figures that we have been anticipated for the group. Commission and fee income increased 74%. Banco Compartamos represented 56% of this figure and was mainly driven by delinquency fees to pass these customers. The rest are fees generated through JazzTax and from the sale of life insurance products with Aterna. In terms of expenses for commission and fees, this rose by 42%. The hike was driven by the fees paid by JazzTax as well as those generated by the bank that need to be paid for collections and disbursements to the diverse channels. The breakdown of each category by company can be seen in the page 4 of the press release. Other operating expenses for the year were represented by, first, company donations. It is important to highlight that 2% of the previous year's net income is assigned to social responsibility initiatives that impacted this line item, as well as the loss of 27 million pesos that we incurred by the sale of fixed assets after we moved our corporate offices to a new location. Moving down to operating expenses, this rose by 25% for the year. As always, 63% of this line item is represented by salaries and benefits of the close to 20,000 employees that now work in Gentera. The investment made during 2013 in expanding the footprint in Mexico, Guatemala, and Peru allowed us to reach 577 service offices throughout, which represented 16.3% of these expenses. The rest were attributed to strategic expenses such as SAP and the deposit pilot project. As mentioned in the previous call, we were able to implement the sale of written-off loans, which resulted in a tax-deductible loss that allowed us to reach a 34% effective tax rate for the group and 30.4%
at the bank level, in line with the guidance provided for the year. The full year net income reached 2.2 billion pesos, which is 12.4% higher than the previous year, and in line with the growth expected for the year and consistent with the expectations that we generated. As a result of this profitability, the performance ratios, beginning with return on assets and on equity, stood at 25%, and ROA stood at 9%, also consistent with what we have anticipated. At this time, I will turn now the call over to the operator to start the Q&A session.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order they are received, and if you wish to remove yourself from the questioning queue, you may do so by pressing star 2. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Our first question comes from Frederick DeMaries with UBS.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for the conference call, and congratulations on another good year. Just a couple of questions on my end. If you could, if you don't mind repeating the guidance for loan growth, I think I heard 17 to 20%. And the question would be, versus what we saw in the fourth quarter, and I understand that you decided to decelerate loan growth in order to control asset quality. So I wanted to understand what's going to happen in 2014 and why you are seeing some reacceleration in which segments, and if it's something you're already seeing in January and February. So that's the first question. The second question is on Peru. We saw the acquisition of Mi Banco by BCP, and I was curious if you could comment on it, and if you looked at the acquisition, at the target, what's your take on this merger, basically, between BCP and Mi Banco? And just a final one, quick one, could you repeat your EPS guidance as well for this year, just to make sure I get the number? Thank you.
Thank you, Frederick. This is Enrique Madrid, and yes, actually, our guidance for this year is between 17 and 20%. And I can tell you that, as we already mentioned, our growth was moderate during 2013, since we focused our efforts in incentive programs to consolidate basically two things: quality of our portfolio and also customer retention rate. We believe that these two things, in addition to reducing our loan officer turnover, put us in a very strong position, and actually we have seen during January that we are starting to grow better than last quarter, or talking about fourth quarter 2013. So we feel very comfortable that now for the group lending product, we will have an expanding or growing period for 2014.
Yeah. And hi, Fred, this is Carlos. So addressing your question on Mibanco, we were aware that Mibanco was looking for a transaction in the Peruvian market, specifically ATP, which was the controlling shareholder of Mibanco, was looking either to exit or to sell ATP. We participated in looking at the teasers of that operation. We felt that the moment that Mibanco was undergoing was in one sense the expectation of pricing from the sellers was unrealistic in the workout of their own portfolio, which has deteriorated significantly in the past few years. Specifically, about half of the portfolio of that institution relates to what we call, you know, not micro-enterprise loans, but rather small and medium enterprise loans, loans that grow go up to $100,000, which Gentera has never done, and we don't feel comfortable in our ability to manage such a portfolio. So for us, I think we felt it was a better option to continue competing in the Peruvian market through Compartamos Financiera, with a strong core not only in the individual market in large cities, but also by introducing Crédito Mujer as we have done in the past. So just to summarize, we didn't see a fit between Financiera Compartamos and Mibanco at the time, and also believe that the pricing was still not there to reflect the actual current state of Mibanco. We do understand that with the merger of Mibanco and Bedificar, we face not a fundamentally different kind of competition, but again, we see Bedificar and Mibanco moving a bit, more so with this merger, moving a bit upstream in terms of the market, and we're focusing more downstream into introducing Crédito Mujer, and that's the way that we see that we can compete in that market very successfully, and it has worked so far. And lastly, just Enrique has mentioned, yes, the guidance in terms of loan growth is 17% to 20%, and the guidance in terms of EPS growth is between 1.54 and 1.59.
That's great. Thank you very much for this.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Juan Jose Lopez with BTG Pactual.
Hi, thank you for the conference call. I have two questions. The first one is related to operating expenses. What should we expect going forward, and what is your expansion plan in terms of openings?
Okay. Hi, how are you? This is Patricio. In terms of operating expenses, what we have been talking about is to still this year to maintain the efficiency ratio between the mid-60s range, right? We're still taking underway some strategic projects such as the pilot project for savings. We are still investing in JustPass. So there are many initiatives that we understand that are key for the future stage of Gentera as a group that require further investment. So we don't foresee this year a reduction on the efficiency ratio. This will start to moderate eventually in 2015 and going forward.
Okay, and my second question is, how does the write-off policy change will affect your tax rate in 2014?
Sorry, I couldn't... The write-off policy, you remember last year we were dealing with a lot of non-deductible in terms of, most notably, we were only allowed to deduct from taxes up to 2.5% of the average loan portfolio. That leaves us with a lot of provision in the P&L that was not tax deductible. With the new regulation, you forget about the 2.5% as a cap, and you now deduct from taxes whatever you write off. Right. So at the end of the day, it's a benefit because we will not have a non-deductible items in the P&L because of loss provisioning. So it's more on the positive front, that change in regulation, rather than something that could affect the business.
Okay. Could you guide any figure for the tax rate for 2014?
Yeah, something similar to what you are seeing today, no? Which is, by the way, similar from what you saw in 2012. No, so nothing has changed in the tax front. The only thing that was affecting us is this thing that we had a lot of the provisioning that was beyond this 2.5% threshold set by the authority. So today, we dealt with it. It's around 30, low 30s range, and for this 2014, will remain at that level.
And lastly, if I may, what is the capital ratio you feel comfortable with according to your current growth strategy? How should we expect the dividend policy in 2014?
Yes. We, in 2012, the board approved a dividend policy and a minimum capital for the bank, no? The bank will always maintain above 30% capitalization, and that's the comfortable level that we want to have until on that's the lower end of the capitalization that we will have until we don't have a funding a savings coming to fund the business, right? The dividend policy don't change. We will pay 40% of 2014 earnings in May 2015. No, so no dividend should be expected in May this year, since we anticipated the dividend in December. A 56.7 per share dividend was paid on December 26th. And no change on that front.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ernesto Gabilondo with BBVA Bank.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and thanks for taking my call. I have three questions. The first one is, which are your expectations on the dynamics of the loan portfolio and your NPL ratio level during 2014. The second one is if you could give us kind of guidance of which could be the sustainable level for your cost-to-income level after ending your strategic project phase. And finally, I will appreciate if you can give us more detail on your SAP implementation during 2014. Thank you.
Okay. Sure. Thank you, Ernesto. This is Enrique Mayor. Our expectation for the portfolio low growth during next year is basically around 15 and 20%, very in line with our guidance for the group. So, and this is just because what I've already explained about how comfortable we feel with the fundamentals, especially in the group lending portfolio, and the individual portfolio will still growing, not at the same pace we grew last year, but we don't want to stop the growth in that product because we feel we have the elements and the tools to have a moderate growth during 2014.
And Ernesto, could you repeat that, your second question? It was not clear what you asked.
Yeah, sure. And also, if you can give me some guidance about your NPL ratio. And the second one is about the possible sustainable level for your cost-to-income level or your efficiency ratio after ending your strategic project phase.
Okay, let me talk about the NPLs. Total Compartamos NPLs normal level for following years, as we have mentioned, will be within 4% and 6%. Total Compartamos NPLs was at 2013 2.9%, way below our mentioned guidance. And even if we discount the effect of the write-off we had, the NPLs would have been around 4.5%. So for the group lending portfolio, the NPLs in the past has remained almost flat, so this is part of this consolidation that we made during last year in a very complicated year for most of our competitors. So in conclusion, NPLs are not an important concern for next year. In the group lending product, we have a very healthy portfolio, and in individual lending product, we are making some actions that we feel will control in a very good way that portfolio, like consolidating our 1,200 people in the sales force. We are reinforcing the training program, and we are also reinforcing collection processes, supporting our loan officers with some special collection team. So this is more or less what we expect on NPLs, but as I mentioned, this is not an important concern for this year.
And in terms of efficiency, Ernesto, what we said already, mid-60s range is something that we will achieve this year. gradually will start to come down, and as you said, as we slow down the investment phase that we went through. But from mid-60s to low-60s, I think it's something that we can achieve in the medium term.
And finally, Ernesto, regarding SAP, this is Carlos, just to share a little bit of the process. So 2012, essentially, for that project, which was when it was kicked off, we spent essentially designing the core banking system and all the processes around it. In 2013, we spent the time by coding all those processes and building the not only the infrastructure but the actual core banking solution. So 2014 is the year of the rollout. We already had gone live in a few of our branches, and we expect to go live on all of our branches by the end of the year. And that that includes, like Enrique mentioned, not only the deposit, not only the loan part and the CRM, but also the deposit side as well. So by the end of 2014, we believe that all of our production will be on our new core banking system and SAP. And as we've mentioned, this is the benefit of that is twofold. For one side, it will allow us to have a very strong core banking system to support integrity and security of information for growth in the future. And secondly, and most notably, it will also help us bring to market new products in a much more efficient and faster way than we were able before with our old core banking system. So we're quite excited about that project.
Thank you very much for your answers. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Chris Delgado with J.P. Morgan.
Hi, and good morning. Just kind of going back to the asset quality aspect, I know you mentioned it's not a major concern in 2014, but given that we really haven't seen any sort of deceleration in the NPL formation with regards to the individual lending portfolio, do you have a sense of when you expect the NPLs to peak in that portfolio, maybe in the first half or by year end? Or and also, if you look at the provisions to average loans this quarter, it was quite high. It was 9.4% based on my calculation, which is the highest you guys had in quite some time. So I was wondering if you could give a sense of how you see provisions to average loans evolving in 2014.
Thank you, Chris. Yes, as you said, individual loans maybe is what we have to focus on during this year. And we have very specific strategies to improve the quality of that portfolio. As I mentioned, we ended the last year with 6% NPL, and our expectation is to finish this 2014 year with NPLs around 5%, which will show an improvement in the trend of the product. And as far as we continue consolidating this product, the NPLs can be even better.
And in terms of provision increase, when we changed the rider policy from 270 to 180, before writing off the loans, they need to be 100% provision. At 180 days, they were not 100% provision, and this is why we needed to create the provision before doing the write-off. And this is why most of the hike in provision in the fourth quarter can be attributed for. Going forward, what we estimate is that we said in the past around 200% coverage ratio of the NPL is something that you can put expect going forward.
Great. And then just one last question. Could you just give us a sense, kind of relating to Aeterna and the fee income, you know, your guidance for that in 2014? I think it was about $30 million a quarter or so, but I just want to double check that.
Yes, and be very careful because with Yasta, the thing is that you have a tremendous growth in fee income, $250 million or so in fee income, but also you have the same impact in fee expense. So
So net-net, the Jaxas business is still with very, very tight margins. So even though it represents a huge hike, if you see separate this income, the rest is mostly attributed, as we mentioned, no? Delinquent customers and mostly life insurance products sold to Jaxas. The life insurance business represents, yes, as you said, 11 million pesos of fees per month, and this is something that we estimate still this year.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tito Labarta with Deutsche Bank.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for the call. A couple of questions. One, just to clarify on Chris's last question regarding the NPL levels. Did you say that you expect NPLs to end around 5% for 2014? Just want to clarify that, because that means you go from around 3.1%, which you finished this quarter, around 5%, almost a 200 basis point increase. Just want to clarify that number. And then just if you can also give some color in terms of your expectations for net interest margin this year, how do you see that evolving? Thank you.
Okay, yeah, Tito, when I was talking about 5% in NPLs, I was talking specifically in the individual lending product. Our guidance for our future NPLs, as I mentioned, is between 4 and 6% in the following year. And for this year, we expect to be around 3%. So I think that will be the most close number of what we expect for this year in total portfolio compartamos.
Okay, great.
And in terms of NIM, Tito, I mean, we've been able to maintain NIM in last year. We expect to maintain the NIM in the same level this year. No, we don't see a contraction because of cost of funds or provisioning that could affect the NIM this year at all.
And great, thank you for that. And then just and do you see any pressure just in terms of competition or with you know, financial reforms, anything to expect that could bring your margin down in the future?
Not at all. As Carlos mentioned during his presentation, and the competition has slowed down quite a bit, and we don't foresee any material change in that front this year, no, that could affect margin because of pricing pressure.
Yeah, Tito, this is Carlos. Just a follow-up. Bear in mind that the only thing that impacts NIM is actually the blended effective return on that portfolio. So as we do more individual or urban loans, which have a slightly lower interest rate, you see a different NIM. That's what's essentially been happening for the past few years. But there's no fundamental change in market conditions or pricing. It's just the mix of the portfolio that's changing. And by the way, when the mix of that portfolio changes, NIM might decrease slightly, but the top line growth, because the increase in average ticket or average outstanding balance more than offsets that. So it's just the dynamic of the portfolio.
All right, thanks. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alba Salcedo with Vector.
Hi, good morning. I have two questions. The first one is, how many clients are you expecting to close this year per country in Mexico, Guatemala, and Peru? And the second one is, what is your budget per country in terms of the portfolio per client on 2014?
Sorry, we couldn't hear you well with the second question.
Yes, my second question is, what is your budget per country in terms of the portfolio per client on 2014?
Okay. First of all, in terms of customer growth, you know, as we mentioned, you know, the dynamics of each country are different. Of course, Guatemala and Peru are growing faster than Banco Compartamos in Mexico. However, as a whole, we think that we can grow at least 10% in terms of customers if you take into consideration the entire Gentera's operation. And in terms of budget, of course, the what still leading the growth for Compartamos or for Gentera as a group is clearly the bank in Mexico. So most of the growth that we foresee in portfolio will be led by Banco Compartamos in Mexico.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Adolfo Puente with MetLife.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for the call. I have a couple of questions. Well, already you mentioned some of them in the previous answers, but I would like to understand, in case of Peru, we know that Mibanco was the leading micro lender in Peru for a while, one of the first banks entering this segment, and they had very bad performance during recent years, and that's why basically Banco de Crédito decided to buy it at a cheap price. So you mentioned that Mibanco focused more on the upper range of the SMEs, and you are more focused on Crédito Grupal and smaller micro lenders, but I would like to understand what are the real differences. What are you doing better than Mibanco, which was the leader, that make you comfortable that you are doing the right thing in Peru? And second, focusing more on the Mexican operation, Banco Compartamos, we'd like to understand in the midterm the strategy. You are growing faster in riskier segments with higher NPLs, as clear in the numbers. But we'd like to understand what is the target for this loan mix and the level of ROE and capitalization that you feel like comfortable, or the bottom, because we see that the trend is declining and the risk is growing, profitability and the buffers are declining. But okay, we can understand that as part of the strategy in the meantime. But where is the north of this new strategy?
Thank you, Adolfo. This is Carlos. So regarding Peru, Mibanco is an interesting case to follow in the sense that it was born many years ago in Peru, doing mostly urban group lending, and then moved mostly to individual lending of around an average outstanding balance of $2,000, just like the rest of the, I would say, Peruvian microfinance industry, and conceptually also, just like most of the Latin American microfinance industry, which focus a lot more on individual lending in large cities between $1,000 and $2,000 on average. Compartamos is sort of a different story in the sense that it was born out of rural lending, mostly in group settings, of loans between $400 and $500. The way that we see this is not two different ways of sending to the same market, but we actually see this as two different sub-segments of the market. It's all based on the pyramid. It's all, independent or self-employed micro-enterprise, but at two different levels. So I think one of the core strengths in how Compartamos was born is that it became an expert in this low-ticket rural lending. Eventually, we have moved to address the addressable market in Mexico and elsewhere. We have been moving into also the individual lending in large cities, both in Mexico as well in Latin America. Mibanco, going back to Mibanco, which has performed very strongly for many, many years, I think, and again, we don't pretend to be an expert in what they've done or their strategic decisions, but I think their own strategic choices have been to move upstream from that 1,000 to 2,000 on average outstanding balance into serving more of the middle market in Peru, that is the medium and small enterprises in Peru with larger loans. And that's where we have seen that they have incurred in a lot of the deterioration of their assets. That is a sub-segment of the market that we are not very familiar with. We've never done loans as big as that, and we understand that the methodology to originate and follow up on those loans is different from what we have done and what are the core skills of Compartamos, which again are, you know, the microfinance or the micro enterprise loans in the rural areas between $500 and in the urban areas today in Mexico and in Peru around $1,000 to $2,000. So we still feel our skills are there. We know how to do that. That's a market that we know very well and that we feel confident that we can grow on. So again, in that respect, Banco was sort of a different institution in terms of the market that they chose to serve, which was more of a middle market. And again, in the future, we might grow into that market as we acquire the skills to do so. But as of today, we still see huge growth potential within the microenterprise market, and we see no need of moving up market as of now. Now, regarding the Mexican strategy, as we've mentioned, is that, again, going back to focusing on microenterprise, we've always talked about an addressable market in Mexico, you know, that's a bit above 10 million individual microenterprises, and that encompasses all of the market. That is rural, suburban, urban microenterprises, both men and women. And what we have done in the past is mostly focus on women in rural and suburban settings, with average outstanding tickets of about $500. What we're doing now, because that is a market that we serve better, is that we're growing faster on the individual and small group lending in urban settings, which, as you mentioned, have a slightly higher risk profile. But again, we don't see this as a problem. It's just the nature of that market. And the margins that we are able to price for loans very well price that higher risk into that portfolio. If you look at the rest of the microfinance industry in Latin America, which again does a lot more of that individual urban lending, just as our subsidiary Peru does, normal NPLs range between 4% and 6%, like Enrique has mentioned, and that is good quality, you know, microfinance being done throughout Latin America. And again, the pricing is built into that, so we feel very comfortable that as we grow in the future in those products, you know, NPLs are going to change. But not in a fundamental way that would in any way endanger the asset quality of the group. I didn't address what you mentioned on return on equity. One of the things that we've always tried to convey to the market is that we believe that Quintera can maintain a return on equity that is above average of its peers, and we've been able to do so throughout our history. The use of capital, we are still fairly conservative in the use of capital, and as Patricio mentioned, our strategy still is to maintain at least 30% capital rate. It was higher a few years ago, and we've lowered that as we've been able not only to have better access to the market, but also be closer to a point where we believe we're going to be able to fund 100% of our portfolios through local savings, or that is savings of households within the markets that we serve. When we are able to have and massify a savings product that can then fund our balance sheet, and then we would not rely on the wholesale credit market, we believe we can go below 30% capital rate. And that should bring also an upside in the return on equity that we're able to achieve. But again, for the time being, we believe 30% is the right capital level, and we will revise that when and if we are able to massify our savings products and fund our balance sheets by local savings.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. So just to understand, so what the problem was in Mibanco was that these individual loans in urban areas, but that's what you are trying to do in Mexico right now, right? It's trying to enter and penetrate more the individual loans in urban areas. So is there any specific difference between you feel more comfortable in Mexico than what Mibanco did in Peru?
No, again, we don't pretend to be at all the experts in Mibanco, but what we've seen from public figures is what the most of their deterioration came in loans that were in excess of $100,000. Their individual urban lending, typical of microfinance institutions in Latin America, is doing well. They know how to do that. They're experts, and it's performed as it has performed in the past. But they moved up market into much, much bigger loans, and those loans, I think, have deteriorated quite a bit, and it's had an impact on their earnings. So, again, it's a business that we, you know, it's very far from what we do. And, again, we don't pretend to be experts in why that happened. It's the only, you know, it's what we've been able to observe from public information about their performance.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Marcelo Jealous with Credit Suisse.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. Most of my questions have been answered. I just have a question on the saving deposits product that you expect to roll out into 2015. Do you have an idea, or can you share with us, you know, how big you think that could represent? I don't know, as percentage of your loan portfolio. Is there, you know, an estimate of, you know, what that could amount? And if that would be relevant for your returns in the future? Thank you.
So Marcelo, let me just recap one of the things we said at, which is the main driver for us doing savings is because it's a product that our clients require, and we believe that it's the preeminent financial inclusion product. We want to serve that product to our clients because it's something that adds value to their lives and that they demand. So that's the main driver of that. Additionally, when we are able to then offer such a product, what we believe will be the added benefit to Ventera will be that we would then rely less on wholesale credit markets, and we will have a deeper and more stable source of funding through those savings accounts. Now, those savings accounts don't necessarily come at a cheaper cost than our wholesale funding. And the reason is not the interest that's paid on those accounts, but rather the expense of managing and opening and operating what in fact are very small balance accounts in rural and suburban Mexico. Our ability to do so, to massify such a product, really relies on our ability to build the infrastructure to make that product very convenient. As you very well know now, most of our transactions in the lending side with our clients happen in partner banks and now in some retail outlets and correspondents. So we believe we need to build a model that's similar to that. That is why we created the Yastas and why it's trying to develop a model in which we can have a wide network of banking correspondents throughout Mexico in which a client of Compartamos, and this applies, by the way, to Guatemala and Peru as well, in which a client of Compartamos can open a savings account very conveniently and close by to the place where they live and work, and they can deposit and withdraw from those accounts very painlessly and conveniently, again, because we're close to the client. We believe that there's great potential for that, and when I say great potential is that, again, eventually if we massify a very convenient and easy access savings product, that could very well fund 100% of our portfolio. But again, that won't happen overnight, and we still have to build the infrastructure for that product to be very, very convenient, and we still have to get those economics right. That's, you know, what we've been testing through Yastas and our savings pilot program. And 2015 will be a year when we'll have more information to really understand how we're able to offer such a product. But again, the benefit is A, the preeminent financial inclusion product, and B, a more stable, deeper source of funding for the group, but not necessarily a cheaper source of funding.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jose Barria with Bank of America.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thank you for taking my question. I have two follow-ups and then just one more general question. The first one is on your guidance for EPS this year. Does that assume a constant number of shares, or does that take into account any sort of buybacks that you could do? Just want to get a sense for whether or not earnings growth will be, you know, in the 12 to 15% that your EPS guidance implies. The second is on provisions. Given that you are now having to, you know, that you're now writing off, you know, loans 180 days past due, and you have to provision fully for those, it wasn't clear whether or not you expect the provisioning ratio, provisions to average loans, to be at this 9%, given that fact, or if there was some sort of catch up in the quarter that you know took the ratio to this level, and we shouldn't see it there anymore. That's the second one, and lastly. More on the impact of the financial reform and understanding that development banks are having to play or are needing to play a more active role in the development of the financial system. I was wondering if you see that as an opportunity to either, to derive some, agreements with those development banks that could benefit your business. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Jose. This is Patricio. In terms of guidance, the EPS today is considering the amount of shares outstanding as of today, right? If that changes, that could have a slight benefit to shareholders, but today, taking into consideration 1.648 shares that are outstanding, right? In terms of provisions, yes, it went up to 9% this fourth quarter. But the idea is to reduce it at around 200% coverage ratio, which will translate more or less in 8% provision level for the group going forward.
And hi, Jose, this is Carlos. Regarding the financial reform, yeah, one of the main pieces of the financial reform is a strengthening of the developing bank. As you know, we have very good access of funding with the local development banks in Mexico. So for us in general, that wouldn't change much. It could change for the financial sector as a whole in Mexico. But one of the things I think that there's potential upside for us is that they also plan to be a bit more creative in terms of the products that they can offer institutions like us, and you know, one thing that we've spoken in the past about is, for example, guarantees for individual lending, which is something that we're working on with them, and that can strengthen our ability to grow and again price the risk of those loans.
I see. And maybe just a little bit further on that last point. So you would basically try to negotiate a system of guarantees, is what you're saying. And do you have any idea? I mean, maybe this is too soon to tell, but what sort of impact that could have on your overall outlook for NPLs and provision?
Not yet. I mean, we still don't have current pricing on those types of guarantees. We're still negotiating that. So, what you would see is a drop in NPL because of effectively that guarantee, but that still has a cost. So it should have an upside, but I don't think it would be, in that regard, very substantial to the bottom line, but it would provide a bit more stable NPL, possibly.
Yeah, Jose, and this is Enrique. In general, what I can say is that this kind of support will allow us to be more aggressive in our growth and at the same time taking care of our portfolio quality. The figures, it's hard to tell at this point, but that's the benefit in general.
And finally, Jose, the good news is again, no, that the development banks are more receptive, they want to be innovative to develop products for financial inclusion. So it's certainly good news, but it needs to work out throughout the year to see how it will play in not only the financials, but clearly in the financial inclusion effort that we need to take very seriously.
Perfect. Okay, thank you very much, Emma.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ricardo Fernandez with Lannan Partners.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Basically, I want to understand if, as I see it, basically your Credit Mujer product in Mexico has more or less matured, stagnating. You need to obviously increase your growth in individual loans, basically in Mexico, obviously. And that requires taking on additional risk. But also, you know, what we've seen in the last couple of years is a substantial increase in infrastructure, SGA spending, which, you know, talking to you a year or 2 years ago was always 12 months to 18 months away and the efficiency ratio was going to normalize. The question I have is your business transforming itself and you need to be more obviously aggressive in individual loans and therefore you will continue to need to invest heavily in infrastructure, and then it's not just this year or next year, it's something that's, you know, a multi-year, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 years in progress before you can finally have efficiencies, you know, below 60?
Yes, thank you, Ricardo. This is Carlos. Yes, I mean, you're very right, and the way that we've actually articulated this in the past is that, you know, specifically 2012 was a turning point in this multi-product, multi-country strategy, and a lot of the investment that we needed to put in place for that has been happening through this period. And the reason I say a turning point because in 2012, if you can recall, we actually guided for no net income growth in 2012 because of the core investments that needed to be done were done back then. So earnings did not grow in 2012 as we expected, and that's what how it eventually played out. But we've also said that the efficiencies and mostly the financial efficiencies coming from those investments would start to play out in 2013. And the way that they play out is that as we transform a portfolio that was mostly in rural small ticket loans into one that has more of a share of individual and urban loans, which have a higher outstanding balance, the average outstanding balance of the whole portfolio increases and therefore drives the top line growth. And that's why in 2013 you saw earnings growth. So again, if you plot that out, what actually happened was 2011 we started with investments. The core of those investments came in 2012, not in nominal terms, but in relation terms to the loan side. And then the efficiency you've already seen in 2013. So as we grow into a portfolio that is a bit more urban, and we've talked extensively about the effect on NPL that might have, but I think what we don't stress out enough is the effect that has in the average outstanding ticket and therefore in top line growth. That's what happened in 2013, and that's what we believe will continue to happen in 2014.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that your business ratio is going to improve not necessarily because of lower infrastructure SG&A, but because your revenues are going to go faster on higher tickets.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. And you know, past 2014, you mentioned something in terms of a loan growth range between 15 and 20. That's a pretty big number. But if you have a choice, is it closer to 20 than 15?
Well, we actually mentioned 17 to 20. And again, we always provide a range because we need to see throughout the year eventually how the mix of the portfolio behaves. So depending on which products grow and where, it could be between 17 and 20. But again, our efforts are into maintaining growth. And also one of the things that plays into that growth, again, is how much the average outstanding balance of the loans grows throughout the year. And that's that's multi-factored. It factors in, you know, the aging of the portfolio and therefore client loyalty is very important. But also the general economic environment is quite important. If you remember 2009, for example, where the Mexican economy shrank, we saw the outstanding balances of our clients shrink as well because our clients needed less money for their businesses. So again, it's also very dependent on what happens on the economy as a whole.
Okay, and the individual loans are have a longer maturities on average than the group lending?
Correct. Yes. 12 months against versus 4 months. So.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Consuelo Salazar with Numos.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my question. This is about the size of the Mexican market and its growth potential, particularly in Mexico. I remember that back in 2004, we were talking about around 20% of the population, 26 million people that were underbanked or excluded from financial services. Now, after almost 10 years and with Compartamos having almost 3 million customers, do you still consider that this reading, this number was still good, or was it ever good at the time? And second, do you consider that the cost of penetrating further nowadays the underserved Mexican market has increased? I would like to have your opinion on this.
Sure, Consuelo, thank you. We have always talked about around 10 to 12 million people that have businesses like or that have the profile of the customer we serve. So this is the number we have always seen, and what we also know in this market potential that we have tracked on is that today, if we put together all the microfinance institutions that serve this market, we are addressing around 6 to 7 million people. So here you can see that we still have potential to go to the other, let's say, 4 to 5 million people that doesn't have financial service yet. And I'm talking specifically on the credit, working capital credit side of the business.
Okay.
Yes, and one of the figures that you quoted, I guess, comes from mostly the financial inclusion surveys that the Comisión Nacional Bancaria publishes, which essentially talk about households without access to financial services, not necessarily working capital, but also, for example, lack of savings accounts. That's why, going back to my earlier comments in the call about the potential of providing a convenient savings account, we see that as very, very attractive because, yes, in fact, many households in Mexico still don't have access not only to the lending side, but also just to the savings side, and for sure microinsurance is another whole issue in which a lot of the population in Mexico still doesn't have access to microinsurance. But just addressing one of your, the last issue in this question in terms of does this become more costly to serve this market, one has to bear in mind that when Enrique says 10 to 12, and as I mentioned before in the call, that is the whole segment that was that's our addressable market, and that includes rural, suburban, and urban areas, and men and women and clients that need anywhere from $300 to $2,000. Now, to do a $1,000 loan, for example, as opposed to a $400,000 crédito mujer loan, the methodologies are different. And because they are different, and again, one of the core drivers of cost is labor, the loan officer that is able to do an individual loan of $1,000 or $2,000 is a different profile of loan officer that has a bit more analytical skills than the Crédito Mujer loan officer. That, in fact, what it translates it into is that the cost of producing an individual loan is higher than it is of producing a Crédito Mujer loan. Now, again, going back to average outstanding balances, the average outstanding balance of an individual loan is substantially higher, and therefore is financially one of the things that we've stressed over and over again is that the fact that it has higher NPLs than the individual and higher origination costs does not mean that it's less profitable because it has a larger loan amount and still is priced to produce a net margin that's very close to Crédito Mujer. So again, what you see happening in cost is, yes, costs increase, but because,
again, average outstanding balances grow. That's why it's costly investment.
Okay, I understand. Thank you for your comments.
Thank you. We have no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the call back over to Mr. Carlos Danell for closing remarks.
Thank you, operator, and thank you all for spending this time this morning with Gentera. We are looking forward for a strong 2014, and if we can do anything else, please let us know. And again, thank you for your time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.